Now, this being said, I'd like to share with you a mushel. Imagine for a minute that you own a software development company, and your team of programmers have written a very sophisticated program, and it's a great, great business application. It's an Einfalt in the world. It can potentially change business processes. However, like many great ideas in life, they either make it in the marketplace or they don't. And you recognize the fact that your entire fortune, your entire future is based on getting this program accepted into a major corporation. For 2 years now, you've been pitching. You've met with the vice presidents. It's gone up the ladder. Finally, after the whole process, you have a meeting with the CEO of General Electric, and you show up in his office. They open the doors, and you see him sitting behind the mahogany $10,000 desk, and you stand there, and you're about to pitch your product. Sir, I'd like to describe what our program can do for you. I just want to tell you, you know, our software has been well developed, and it can really do a lot of good for your systems and amount. And of course, we have redundant software. And did I mention we have redundant? We have redundant support. We have redundant software. Did I mention the fact that we have support 24/7? And of course, every system would be involved in. Excuse me. I'm sorry. What was I saying? Did I say something? No. You get the joke? You get the joke? If tefillah means that I am having a conversation with the creator of the heavens and the earth, how do you explain my behavior when I daven? Mesillas Yesharim describes, you know what tefillah means? Tefillah means this one recognition that I, little me, am talking directly to Hashem, literally says, like I speak to my friend. When I speak to my friend may respond, he may not, but I'm speaking directly to him, says the Mesillas Yesharim, Zuhi tefillah. Davening is having a conversation directly with Hashem. So what's pshat? And being a high school Rebbe for enough years, you know, they put the Rebbeim on the wrong side of the base medrash, so everybody faces this way except the Rebbeim face that way. So I get to watch guys. I get to watch guys over the course of the tefillah. And you see, you ever watch the fly catchers? If you would watch the insane behaviors that are going on, there is no way this guy's talking to he's not even talking to the walls. He's going through some pantomime, some illusionary, I don't know what he's doing. But it sure is not talking to the creator of the heavens and earth. So what is a person to do? What is a person to do if you get to a stage in life when you say, enough, I've been a frum Jew, and my davening really isn't as it should be? So Mishnah Berurah gives two very practical, simple eitzes, words of advice. Number one, before you daven, before you open your mouth, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tzadik Ches, Yasim Alibo, pay attention in your heart, Sheim Bishum Nivra, there is no creation, Malach Mazal Akocha, there's nothing, no force in this world that can grant my request except Hashem. If Hashem says no, it's no. If Hashem says yes, it's completely 100% in Hashem's hand. But number two is even more impactful. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, be very careful not to chapa mincha. I gotta go. I gotta daven. And I said, what's wrong with that? That's great. 3:15. There's a minion across the street. Everybody packs out of work. They go to the minion. That's geschmack. That's great. What's wrong with that? Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're davening because you got to daven, you missed the point. What you're doing is not being yotzei a mitzvah. What you're doing is being mevakesh. You're going to ask Hashem. If you're going to daven because you have to daven, you have to be yotzei your mitzvah, likely you're missing the fundamental yesod of tefillah. Tefillah is me coming with requests, me with needs, me coming with a long laundry list of things that I need help with and asking Hashem for help. And says the Mishnah Berurah, if you don't ask Hashem, if you're not davening Hashem on Esrei with a sense of I'm asking Hashem for help, you may not even be Yotze de Shemone Esrei. According to some Rishonim, you are not. You should daven anyway, because first of all, eventually you'll come to it. We probably anyway paskin that even if you're not Mavakesh, you're Yotze. But the basic concept of tefillah is asking Hashem. Now, what do you ask Hashem for? What should a Jew ask Hashem for? That question greatly depends on one simple yesod. If Hashem is 13 billion light years up in Shemayim, there is very, very little to ask Hashem for help with. Because I'm here, it's a lonely, tough world out there, and I'm alone. And Hashem being 13 billion light years up in Shemayim is not going to offer me much assistance, hence there's very little to ask for help with. But if a Jew comes to an understanding that Hashem is not merely 13 billion light years in Shemayim, but Hashem is present right here during my day, that means when I get out of bed in the morning, Hashem is right there, assuring the fact that number one, I wake up. Number two, that I don't trip on the roller skates that my kid left on the bed and crack my pelvis. That Hashem is there when I walk down the hall. That Hashem is there when I walk down the stairs and I see the other roller skate and I don't fall down the rest of the stairs. When I get in my car and the drunk is driving the wrong way down the street and he doesn't turn down my block. All day long, Hashem is present with me as I walk, as I go into the building, as I go out of the building, as I sit down, as I get up. When a Jew reaches that understanding, then, oh, there's a whole lot of things to daven for. Many, many big things, and there are plenty of little things to ask for also. The big things are obvious. Is there a person out there who's so wise, so cocksure of himself that he can earn a living? Many an intelligent, talented person can't. And even if you're doing well financially, your health is guaranteed. You're such a healthy guy. And even if you're doing well in those two counts, you have everything called shalom bias. And what happens? What happens when you said the wrong line? You said the wrong line and your wife finally got it. I get it. He's a creep. He's a heartless, selfless creep. And she's right. Now what do you do? So if you're wise, what you do is you quickly figure out how you're going to get yourself out of this mess. So you go to the store and you buy yourself the dozen roses or the two dozen or the 10 dozen, depending on how much of a mess you made for yourself. You buy the card, and then what you do is what a wise man does. Before you figure out how you're going to apologize to your wife, you turn to Hashem and say, help. First of all, to be honest, I don't really understand women. They're a different breed. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why she's upset, and I really don't have a clue to how I'm going to patch this up. Please help. But gentlemen, it's not just big things. It's little things also. You see, if I understand that Hashem is involved, if I understand that Hashem loves me, if I understand that Hashem wants to help me, then it's all day long that there are many things that I need help with, big things and little things as well. And little things can mean as little a thing as you're coming late to work and your boss has been on your case for that and you ask Hashem for help. You forget your keys or you're late for the shmooze and you can't find your keys. Help. And by the way, those words, that word, help, is a tefillah. It's probably one of the most pure tefillahs that exist. Help, please. Because what you're doing with those words are, you're being moda. There's a creator of the world who's involved in this world. There's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's present. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu who loves me. Hashem who wants to help me. Oftentimes, Hashem will hold back many, many things. Just waiting for me to ask. And if you've ever been in a situation where you asked, and you asked, and you asked, and you asked week after week, month after month, and you're starting to feel like a kvetch, and you're starting to feel like maybe I'm annoying Hashem, listen carefully to what this Medrash is saying. What the Medrash says is, imagine the king got off his horse, saved the princess, then wanted to speak to the princess because he fell in love with her, and the princess wasn't interested. She had no interest in him. So he came up with this whole charade. He brought his men to surround, to get in trouble again, just so that she should reach out to him. Says the Medrash, that's our relationship with Hashem. Not just the tzaddikim, that's the regular, Hamon Am, that's us, at Kriyas Yam Suf. And if you're ever tired of asking, or you're afraid that you're bothering Hashem, know and understand that more than you want that thing you need, Hashem wants something else. Hashem wants you to recognize Him. Hashem wants you to reach out to Him. Hashem wants you to cry out and say, please help me. Because, gentlemen, that is one of the holiest activities that a Jew can be involved in. And it's one of the greatest things that propels a person to be closer to Hashem. Hence, Hashem desires it. Hashem's misaveh, Hashem desires the tefillos and shel tzaddikim. Hashem hungers for those tefillos. And that means even, I dare say, you and me. And that's something to think about before you daven, and certainly while you daven. Now, that being said, I think the guys who've been coming to the Shmooze for a while, there's sometimes a sense of frustration, and it's sometimes I've even heard people say this. We'll work on a given topic for a while. We'll start with something called anger. And we'll spend some time working on it, and there'll be various musar exercises, and hopefully you'll start incorporating them into your life. And if you work on it, you find your anger recedes, and you become a little bit of a different person. Then we'll switch topics. We'll go on to another midah. Maybe it'll be humility. And you'll work on that, and that also improves. Then we'll switch over to emunah and bitach, and we'll go through the whole gamut, and you'll find in the course of a year, we go through many, many different topics. But it's been a half a year or a year since you worked on anger. And I've heard guys say,